Episode 459, January 6th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Robin Joe Chat Room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Robin Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Robin Joe.
Let's start the show with a shout out to the rugby career of one Eric Woodworth.
Yeah, well, who's the decision maker on that thing we were about to talk about? Who, where does it come from? It's not some national publication or anything, right?
What is his team? The team he was on.
The team he was on? Is it a club team? He played for Salisbury.
Don't know anything about. I think this is.
It says BU, right? I don't know what that means.
Hold on. Let me find. I posted about it. Something Forge. I know that.
So it had to be a club, a rugby club, right? It's not affiliated with any school.
Where did they put it on? Maybe I put it on.
What is that? Their Hall of Fame? Their five
He's
greatest
all
players?
Decade.
All decade. That's
yes.
All decade.
All decade rugby player.
On
for his
that,
rugby team.
For that team. Is that team?
Rocky George Rugby.
Is that team renowned enough to even warrant an all decade team?
I think they are. I think they're a good team.
Eric looks the worst out of all of them in terms of being in shape. Agreed.
Yes. They have a panel of seven making these decisions. The four all-decade prep team props are Brian Perez, Aiga Tonato, Ryan Frost, and Eric Woodworth.
I wonder if Eric got the fewest votes. You think he did? I'll bet he did.
What do you think he's better at, rugby or being in a murder mystery?
100% he's better at being in a murder mystery. Hey, if you...
Is he all decade?
You know how they... I don't know how they decide the second team all pro, right?
Right.
But as an example, like Ronnie Stanley got like 45 first place votes, and the second best left tackle got like 4 votes.
Right.
But that person made second team. You follow? Does that make sense?
Do they vote for first and second team? Is that how it works?
I don't know, but like Russell Wilson got second team all pro.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson got 47 first place votes,
right,
and then he got the only three other votes. That's the second thing. You follow what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So maybe there's a bunch of people with ones and two votes at the end, and Eric just happened to get 2 votes.
Well, I like we're just shitting on his accomplishment. Mac Bergson said he's an all-decade member of the Robin Joe Show guess.
Oh, easily, right?
Yes.
And if top five, he's top four, yeah.
He mentioned Restivo did not make it. He made a point to say that. By the way, big Chris Restivo news. He just posted second YouTube video published. I'm on a roll now. By the way, anyone could just put up a YouTube video.
But you could also be on a roll doing it.
You could be on a roll.
It doesn't
mean
it's consumed by anyone. By the way, shout out to Chris.
I could French kiss Chris Restivo.
Shout out to Chris Restivo. His Vikings beat the heavily favored Saints.
Huge win, yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
In New Orleans. Now, I didn't watch any of those videos. They make me they're a little annoying to me. I know Eric loves them.
Restivo's celebratory videos.
Well,
that he's just
celebratory
so angry.
Or angry. They're just fraudulent. They seem put on.
It was painful to watch.
Yeah, I can't really look at those because they're not genuine at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if somebody's really mad, I like it.
Well, the weird thing he does is if his team loses, he shits on the other team.
Right, team that just beat him.
Right,
right.
And then if his team wins, he talks about how much the other team sucks. Well, that doesn't Don't you, why would you want to say Drew Brees sucks? Wouldn't you want to say we beat a Hall of Famer? I mean, what, why are you diminishing your victory?
The other thing about, like, I know he hates Aaron Rodgers more than any other quarterback, probably any other player, but he always calls him gay.
Yes.
Right? So as if somehow him being gay, he might not have a problem with being called that. You know what I mean? So what's the, I don't understand, does that make you bad at football? You follow what I'm saying? He doesn't. It doesn't.
It's
the worst thing that he thinks you can call somebody.
Yes, yes. Because his famous quote is, we're always paraphrasing, Eric does a great impression. I got no problem with the gays. I just hope that they die. That's basically his sentiment. Yes.
But it's if you said, oh, man, I bet you love vacationing in Idaho. When you're like, well, no, I don't, but I'm not mad.
Right.
That you,
exactly,
that you say that. I don't. It's fine that you think that. But no, I don't. I prefer warmer climates.
Well, welcome to 2020. It's good to be back. We had a we got a show in under the gun there. I guess it just came out a couple days ago.
Yeah, yesterday it came out. Yeah.
So, well, that's a good way to start the year with a new show, and then we're recording a new show. We had a good New Year's Eve doing our debut of our New Year's Eve murder mystery at McGoobie's.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was a raucous, joyous experience.
It was. People were really enjoying it, and the unfortunate thing is we've done this two times in a row, the last two murder mysteries, where we've done it once.
Oh, yeah.
We destroy, and then we don't do it again. Hell, the one, Love, Marriage, and Murder, there's going to be about 5 months in between, right?
Yeah, well, we're coming up, because we did it, I think, in August at the Ramshead.
So September, October, November, December, January. It's almost half a year before we do it again. We have to relearn the whole thing.
Yes, obviously. So we're going to do it five times in like 5 days in February. So February 9th, Brightbox, the 13th, Amp, and the 14th, Valentine's Day, McGoobie's Joke House. So look out for that. We don't really have much of a break this year.
No, it's good, right?
I mean, we have a break after February, but we...
No, you're right. It's going to be... it's a little... Here's the thing.
Have we made our announcement with 98 Rock yet?
Have we, Robbie?
I don't think we have. I mean,
not here, we haven't. I assume the station's talking about it.
Oh, yeah. No, they're going full bore. It'll be very, very crowded. So we are doing the Hit Me 90s one more time.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that with the on-air talent at 98 Rock to benefit the Polar Bear Plunge for the Special Olympics.
Yep.
We're doing that on the 17th. It's not this coming Friday, but the next Friday. And we're doing that at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. That's not our home club, but our home club, McGoobie's, wasn't available, so we're doing it at that room, and it seats like 400 people. So
yeah,
it
and all the proceeds go to Special Olympics Maryland.
We're doing it for free. Yeah, I did ask if
we're heroes.
I did ask, hey, we're gonna get paid for this?
Yeah.
And he goes, no. Do you want to do it anyway? And then I had to literally go to people and say, hey, are you willing to do this for nothing? So
I just want the charity write off.
Yeah, I don't even know how that works. Do you? Who gives it to us, the Special Olympics?
Yeah,
I guess I can ask about it.
Yeah, they're a charity. They know how to do it, I'm sure. We'll figure that out. But anyway, let's pack the place. And it's going to be fun because we're going to incorporate the 98, you know, Scott and Josh from the morning show, Kirk and Marianne. So there'll still be Tommy and Eric because you can't replace those two. But the meat of the show will be 98 Rockers.
And it will be a sold-out show, so if you're interested in coming, you better buy them now.
The meat of the show will be Justin first.
Yeah.
Guess Scott second? Scott, right? Because he'll be playing what you usually
do. Yeah, he has probably the second most lines.
But after that, it'll be Eric and Tommy, right?
Yep.
Right.
So and you're still in it, and you have a...
Yeah,
you're
I like
seen,
my...
seen, but you're heard.
I love my role in that one.
No,
I like my role in... It's the same role that I have in the... I mean, it's no secret. I call in.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I really enjoy doing.
You're great at it. You're great on the phone.
I am. I am good on the phone.
Maybe it's because you're not worried about how you look or how you're making.
That's not it. Here's the thing. When I do those, listen, you've been writing them.
Yes.
So as a result, I'm like, I want to take on everything else. That makes it equitable.
Right.
But I'd rather write them and hand them off and have you put all the binders together. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's the fucking stressful part.
Yes.
So you put the binders together, you bring the tub, you fucking make sure you don't miss, all the Oscars are grabbed, the fucking team sheets, you got to have everything. If you miss one thing, you're fucked. So that's very stressful. And then you get there and you're like, all right, I want to hand these roles out, especially when you have a role. Like, for example, we just did a show on Saturday.
Yep, January 4th.
2 days ago. And one of the roles is a gay partner to a guy on a
newlywed show.
Right, a newlywed show. So I don't have a problem with that, but I don't know how the world views that.
Right.
So you're like, okay, I guess I have to do that. I remember, and I don't even remember what the role was, but there was one role in Superhero Homicide which was hard to give out. You remember that? It was a female role, and it was like overtly sexual or something. And I'm like, oh, shit, because you have to tell them what they're going to remember it now. So there's some roles you're like, God, I just got to make sure that I get rid of this. The other thing is that
it's stressful.
In this one, and Katie did all the work here, so that I don't mind, is when three couples have to play the newlywed game. So you have to ask them these questions. There's four each. You have to take each of them to the side.
Yeah.
Then they have to go up on the stage. You have to make sure that they hold their cards down, because if they hold them up, the audience sees.
Uh-huh.
It's just, there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, all right, let me just get this correct. Once I get all that, then I can start worrying. And this one, I kind of have a real role in, which I don't necessarily love because of all the other stuff I have to do. So this, and I used to really love this show, but I like it a lot less because it's shorter than all the other shows.
Right.
And then the Christmas one and this one are the ones I have the biggest role. So I really enjoy them the least because I have to do both my part and I have to do all the other shit that surrounds it.
No, so, we've done this without you on the road or something, it is stressful. Getting all that done, making sure you remember everything, and then you feel like your work is done, then you're like, oh, the show starts now.
Yeah,
now I actually have to do the thing that people care about. But why are we talking about that? Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
But Happy New Year. The Bachelor premieres tonight, and we just, right before the show, we put Robbie on the spot.
Yeah.
And we made him lock in, because the computer we have in the studio, Robbie can control. And so we put it on the Bachelor website on ABC.com.
They blindsided
the cast. We fairly asked you to just come up with the winner, because you always seem to nail it.
No, he doesn't nail it. He nails all exact order,
right, yeah,
from zero to one. Yeah, he nails everything, and it's a very
statistically
suspicious.
Impossible.
Yes, it's impossible to do, and so we made him do it. But I kept hearing him go away from the mic, which was frustrating because I'm very skeptical. I wanted to make him pick
that he's got that website he goes to on his favorites on his phone or something.
Well, he could just go to it, but it would have required some work. So I actually believe that the pick that we made him, I believe it is something that he had to just come up with.
Yes.
So if this is right, I still am not going to believe any of the other shit, but at least it lends a little bit more credibility.
Well, the first pick he made was Hannah, who was rumored to be, she was the bachelorette last time that this guy fell in love with, and then she eliminated late in the process after having had sex with him like three times.
But hold on. How could she be in it if she was a bachelorette?
Well, on the preview, it shows her showing up to the house.
She's going to be showing up on the show at some time for some extra drama.
Okay, I hear you, but if she was a bachelorette, doesn't she have a partner?
They broke up.
They already broke up? Oh,
yes.
My God.
Right.
Didn't work out.
So Robbie picked her, but that doesn't really count because we want you to pick somebody fresh.
And he picked who?
So he went, and again, we don't know these girls from Adam, just going from the website. He went with Madison.
And I don't like that either because she's ugly. Well, none of them are ugly, but her picture. And that means as soon as Robbie picks somebody like that, I'm like, ah, he knows something. As soon as I get, I immediately get skeptical.
What was your logic for Madison, Robbie?
When Joe said she was ugly, that made me want to pick her.
Wow, good strategy.
By
the way, she's gorgeous.
She's probably a nine.
Yeah.
Nothing to go on.
I feel like the girl that I picked is the hottest girl, but
she's pretty hot.
She's also
the hottest girl rarely wins. Usually the hottest girl causes problems in the house. Yeah.
But she's also 28. She's the oldest girl.
Well, my girl went with Courtney. I think she's 28 as well. I factored that in.
Yeah, because that means they don't, you know, they got their shit together a little bit. If somebody's 22, they're going to fucking throw up on their shoes. But there's going to be somebody there ruining it. I just hope it's not my girl.
So we talked murder mystery, and I said nobody cares, and then we went to talk about The Bachelor. So another thing that probably nobody cares about. But this is about Robbie not cheating in 2020.
People definitely care about The Bachelor. Not me, but people do, right?
Yes, they do.
By the way, I finished watching Succession.
Oh, all two seasons? Both?
I watched both seasons.
You knocked it out pretty quick.
Yeah, let me just give you my take. First of all, I love the show.
Mm-hmm.
Shiv, by far, my favorite character.
Oh, she's stunning.
She's outstanding, right? But it's one of these things where nobody's really that likable.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fucking stress, as you know. I need you to give me a little bit of relief. Even the comic relief, Tom and Greg.
That's stressful too.
Yes. It's all stressful.
Yeah.
So,
Robbie, have you watched Succession?
No, because I don't have HBO right now.
Okay. Speaking of TV, the Golden Globes, well, that's not just TV, but was last night. And no one's really talking about who won. Everyone's talking about Ricky Gervais. So that's a win for Ricky Gervais.
Sure.
That's a home run.
Well, nobody cares who wins the Golden Globes anyway. Bohemian Rhapsody win Best Picture? It's not even, it's just an okay film.
Right. Well, they have like eight different best movie categories.
I think it won like Best Music. No.
No, it had it. They didn't have it as a musical. That is a drama.
Yeah, it had it as a drama. Right. Yeah, it was bad.
But Ricky Gervais just, lit into.
Eviscerated.
Yes. Yeah. It was very entertaining. And like everyone likes it, except for J.O. Covan is the only person who.
Yes.
I love the way Ricky set it up by saying, I don't give a crap. I'm not doing this anymore. Like, okay, we know he's coming at him. You know?
Well, I guarantee you, people like J.O. will believe that to be insincere. It's like, you know, comics do that where they laugh at their own jokes. Yeah. I don't love that. I don't love it. But if you are performing in front of a room that you know you're going to alienate 50%, then you really don't give a fuck.
Right.
Maybe you're telling the truth, right? And I knew that, the woke, they won't like it because it's like, wow, if they're correct, then that affects my agenda. No offense to JL, but of course he didn't like it. It was so predictable. Well, I wish I had predicted it before.
You should have.
I wish I had because I knew it, right? I knew it. By the way, I can laugh at something on Saturday Night Live that happens at the expense of my thinking. He can't.
Well, that's the thing. This is everyone on the far right loved it. Everyone on the right loved it. Everyone in the just right of center loved it. Everyone in the center loved it. Everyone on the left of center. Everybody on the mid left of center.
Yeah.
Everyone but the far, far left. So
yeah.
It's like 96%. Because I've seen everybody praising it from all different walks of life.
Of course,
so
yes.
it's not like this doesn't paint you as anything. The only thing it paints you is if you didn't like it,
right.
Then you're painted as something.
Well, that is weird because that. God, we're going to talk about JL.
Hey, The Righteous Prick is back. I believe the first episode is up by the time you hear this. So I'm sure he'll be talking about the Golden
about Globes, how horrible it was,
about you, about Fleabag, about Donald
but
Trump.
But what he'll do, I'll use movies as an example because they're a little innocuous. They're not very threatening. But I'll see a movie. It'll have like a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. What's the Booksmart? Isn't it a perfect example? 98. And he goes, "Oh, that movie was shit." Blah 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 blah. And then he acts like I have to defend the fact that I loved it. No, I don't.
Right.
I don't. If it is for the most part beloved, you have to explain why you didn't like it. Right. I don't have to explain myself. You do.
Right.
Oh, I hate ice cream. Okay, well, why? Why do you hate it? Most people love it.
Right.
Yeah.
Ellen DeGeneres was also really funny.
Yes. That's what I look for in these award shows. Who, like Will Ferrell, is always going to go up there
right.
and just be funny. Who's going to be funny and interesting and not just be a weirdo like Joaquin Phoenix?
Have you ever seen that video? There's a family. They're like in the Alps or something, right? And all of a sudden there's an avalanche. And the father just takes off and leaves his fucking family there, okay?
Right.
That's a real video.
Right.
They've made a movie. It stars Will Ferrell. And JL probably like it because Veep is in it, right?
Okay.
Help me out.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus,
yes. Yeah. She's in it. And it's the same
you
thing.
You now call her Veep, not Elaine.
That's just so JL will like it
gotcha.
More. Right. You got a shot at him liking it if you just mentioned the woke show that he loves, right? But anyway, so the premise of this movie is based on that video. Will Ferrell's sitting there with his family, and the avalanche comes, and he rolls out, but he grabs his phone.
And Julia Louis-Dreyfus is his wife?
Is his wife.
Yeah.
And she can't get past the fact that he ran, but he remembered to grab his phone.
Right.
So, anyway, check that. I'm trying to find out the name
of it. That sounds like a great SNL sketch. To make a movie out of it, I mean, we'll see.
I don't know. I got to where? Hold on.
Just
I'm going
to go to look at IMDb and look at Will Ferrell.
Well, no, I got to. Here we go. It's called Downhill.
Okay.
Check it out. Downhill.
You know, I've talked with Koechner about this, and, Will's on a bit of a bad streak here.
What are his last few movies?
I mean, look him up.
Well, you know that he is
that Holmes and Watson thing.
Yeah. He's the executive producer of Succession. Am I saying that correctly?
Well, no. He's got his hands in some things. But in terms of him being, you know.
You think he's almost out of Hollywood?
I don't think that at all, but I think he hasn't had a critically acclaimed movie in a while.
All right, here we go.
Jim Amato is saying in chat that he's a tool. I don't know why.
Who, Will Ferrell?
Yes.
I mean, he doesn't like him. He doesn't think he's funny. He doesn't like him in real life. What's the... I mean, I'm just trying to figure out. I'm not saying he's
elaborate,
wrong.
Jim.
Yeah, okay. So here's his last few movies. You ready?
Yeah.
That you would have known about. Hold on. I got this is producer. I'm automatically in producer. That's probably a bad idea.
It gets convoluted.
All right. Sorry, guys. Okay, it's going to give me a second
great
here.
First show of the year.
Actor. 125 credits. Yep. Here we go. Downhill this year.
Okay.
He was in Between Two Ferns, the movie, which I enjoyed.
Okay, he's not the star. He's just got a little cameo.
The Lego Movie 2. That was a smash hit.
Okay. And again, got good reviews. I want a movie that's about him, not about a freaking animated thing.
All right. Holmes and Watson.
Okay.
Okay, that was bad. Daddy's Home 2. Okay, bad. You're right. The House, you're right. That's a movie with Rory where they have a casino. Yes. That was also bad. Yeah. I mean, I didn't see it, but it got bad reviews. Zoolander 2, that you're right. We're going back to 2016.
Yeah, this is a bad stretch.
Daddy's Home 2015, also not good.
Right.
Get Hard, bad.
Yes.
You're right, 2015. The Lego Movie, you're not counting that. You already said he's got to be the star or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Anchorman 2, oh, man, it's a state. Yeah. That's probably his last... Not bad movie, and it wasn't, Then The Internship. Oh, no, that's uncredited. So that was his last. The Campaign.
Campaign, that was with.
2012. That's a good movie. But yes, that was 2012. Funny. Yeah, okay, there you go. His last, either Anchorman 2 or The Campaign. Let's see what Anchorman 2 got.
Well, his Ron Burgundy podcast is very popular.
Yeah, but we're only going movies, right?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah. No,
that's, you've really fallen if your podcast is great.
Okay, so Anchorman 2 got a 75% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's his last fresh tomato.
Okay.
Not that that's your criteria, but that's,
I feel like that this has backed up my point. So
no, you're absolutely right. I'm not going to, can't argue with you there.
So let's hope, when's this Downhill come out? Is there a trailer yet?
There is a trailer.
Okay.
It's exactly as I described.
Okay, well then I don't need to even see it.
Let me see if they've reviewed it yet. Here we go.
Oh, that would be exciting.
12%. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, Lane doesn't do a lot of movies, so maybe she's going to get into movies now.
Nope. Downhill, no. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, no. No
who
story
else is
yet.
In it?
Miranda Otto.
I don't know who that. Other kids? Did they have kids in this?
Yeah, they do. They do have kids. Hold on. I'm doing my best here. Downhill, let's see. Yeah, there's no link yet.
All right.
So, yeah.
Did you watch the movies that made us on about Home Alone yet?
No, tell me about
this. This is so ridiculous. This says so much about Hollywood and people in charge and people that have to spend money. So John Hughes wrote Home Alone, and then Chris Columbus came in and tweaked it,
Right.
But it's a John Hughes movie.
Right.
And this is, by the way, at the tail end, this is after he's made all his gigantic movies.
Mm-hmm.
And the budget is $10 million, which isn't a lot. But that's what they asked for. Then they go, they start making it, and they, you know what? We're going to need $15 million. They sent it. They come back. By the way, they've already built this set because they have the house, but that's the only part of the house that you see is real is the actual front of the house. The movie isn't shot in that house.
Right. It's all.
They built the house in this gymnasium in a high school that doesn't, that where they shot Breakfast Club. There's no one goes to school there anymore. So they've built this whole thing. They say we need 14.8 or 15.2 or something. And then it's either Warner Brothers or it's another big one. They say, no, we can only do 13.2. They wanted 14.7. And they're like, no, we broke it down. We can't.
Right.
They go, movie's done. He's John Hughes. They won't give him 1.2 million, 1.5 million. Right.
So what happened?
So he was talking to another guy at another company and they did this tricky thing where somehow there's some rule where you can't just hand the script. They left it somewhere and the guy picked it up from the other studio.
Right.
And that meant they could make it. And they go, yeah, we'll give you $15 million. It sounds like a great movie.
So the other studio, the studio that gave it, it's like equivalent of when Eminem's like, we don't want to be an E.T. and Reese's Pieces.
Yes.
Says, you know, we'll do it.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. But like if John Hughes hasn't built up enough where you say, you know what?
Yeah,
John,
how do you, does anybody get anything?
Right. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, what'd that make? $1 billion?
It made, at the time, it was it was Star Wars, E.T., and that were the three biggest. It was $240 million or something.
Oh, these guys are probably... I mean, that's something that makes you throw yourself off a building.
Yeah. And then the other interesting thing is... what's the guy's name? Joe Pesci's partner in crime, the actor's name?
Yeah, Daniel Stern.
Yeah. He turned it down. We accepted it. And then they needed him to work like 20 more days.
He's like, I'm not
They weren't going to pay him more. He goes, no. So they hired somebody else. You'd recognize him if you saw him. But I forget his name. But he's not as big as him. And they started shooting. And like 3 days in, like it wasn't working with Pesci. And they went back and they brought Stern in. That by that time, they had more money. And he goes, God, what an idiot I was. What if I didn't do it? I would never have gotten over it.
Yeah. No, you're right. You don't recover from that, right? I mean, that's his... What was he in other than that? That it was
he was the guy who did
Diner. I know that.
He did the voiceover on the show Wonder Years. He was the
narrator. I did know that.
He shot City Slickers as it was coming out. And like every week, Billy Crystal would come to him and... You know, look, you're the number one movie in America again this week and this week and this week. So that whole run of shooting City Slickers, he was just feeling great about himself.
By the way, you're going to say something about what we're talking about, mm-hmm. and I'm about to talk about something we were talking about 5 minutes ago.
Fair enough.
One of Will Ferrell's kids in the movie Downhill is Gabe from The Office.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the age doesn't seem to sync up, but yeah.
No, anyway. And then I think Pesci had an issue not cursing because he's so used to cursing.
Right.
So they had to get that out of him.
He thought it was in a Scorsese movie, not a John Hughes. Right. There's cursing in the John Hughes movies. Nothing crazy.
But this is a family Christmas movie.
Well, you think Trains, Planes, and Automobiles is a family movie?
I do.
What about...
No, I don't
you start? Oh, yeah. You had to bail.
Yeah, Rob and Joshua. Be right back.
Put on your Sunday clothes. There's lots of world out there. Get on your brilliantine and dime cigars. We're gonna find adventure in the evening air.
Girls in white in a perfume something. We are lights as bright as the stars. Yes.
My heart is beating so fast, call 911.
I don't like this birthday. It's 51. I didn't love 50.
But at least it's a milestone.
I also don't like loud music, Katie will tell you. And I don't like driving fast.
Die Hard was released in July of 1988. July, like they did with all the Christmas movies.
Die Hard was never marketed as a Christmas movie, and it was never intended to be a quote-unquote Christmas movie. But it has become a Christmas movie.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
I said I'm thankful for my boys. I said I know they probably... think that I love the dog more than them. I don't. Yes. Just that the dog's never let me down.
Oh, I love when you shit on Chris on the show.
Hello, shout out, Mr. Restivo.
Yes, very nice man.
You know what my thing that I don't like that Katie does? Whenever she has a fake mustache, I don't fucking like it.
What? I remember the blue whale.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's gone.
That's not a... No.
What the fuck? Why would they do that?
Once you have the blue whale, you gotta have it for life.
I was so fucking pissed when I saw that thing was gone and they got some other fucking shit whale there.
Bullshit.
So the four biggest things that happened in my life, my divorce.
Yes.
My marriage.
Yes.
My dog.
Huh.
And the murder mystery.
Okay.
Those are the four biggest events of the decade for me.
So I'd have to say Tawanda and I's relationship growing, the murder mystery, Comedy Central, and Kettner. My Mount Rushmore... I'm gonna take out the murder mystery and throw in going to Christmas Tebow's birthday party at Millstream.
Well, that was awesome. History on that.
Uh-huh.
Of course, as I'm known to do, as soon as anybody sings on the show, I want to put it to music because it's hilarious. And that one was particularly funny, and I had it saved, and I was going to play it last show, but of course I wasn't available to record it with you. So fast forward to yesterday, I get Jim Amato's new thing for this month, and he's done the exact same thing I did.
Legends, you too.
But I didn't use his, and let me tell you why I didn't use his. Is because when I put Joe and I to music, I was completely on the wrong key. Joe was exactly on the right key.
Good job, Joe.
So I had to re-record myself in the right key, and I didn't want to use the one that Jim had because I was singing in the wrong key.
Well, look,
God, that must have been horrible for you.
You guys sounded great, and
you know what a great vocalist I am.
This stemmed from me watching this show on Disney Plus Encore, where they have a high school reunion of a play, and they do that play, you know, 10, 15, 25 years later,
yes.
Which I I do love that show. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's good, but I do like
What's
it.
What's it called again?
Encore.
The Has-Beens. Oh, Encore.
Encore. I've watched all nine episodes.
Speaking of revisiting.
You guys need to get on that for your Hello Dolly. So
Robbie, get
make
on
that happen, Robbie.
Yeah, speaking of revisiting the past, you know, about a quarter of a mile from my house is a bar.
Yeah, I didn't really know that, actually.
Larry's, actually, when you go to leave my community, if you look right across the street, that's it.
Okay. Maybe now, I'll stop there on the way home.
I went to, I called neighbor Ryan, you know, Ryan, whose kids I correct all the time,
I like
you know,
Ryan.
Tell him to quit shaking the tree.
Played poker with us, good guy.
I go, hey, let's go watch the games. He's like, cool, I'm in. And I'm like, okay, cool. Now, so I'm sitting there, I got my sweatshirt on, I'm waiting for him to go, and he goes, hey, as soon as my wife gets back from running her errands, we'll head over there. So about 20 minutes later, he goes, hey, she'll be home in about an hour. I'm like, all right, whatever, you know. Anyway,
what time is this? Because we had this is a Sunday. We had a 1:00 and 4:30 game.
So we ended up going over there at halftime
of the first game.
First game. So
well, that's not bad.
No, it was. We were over there at 3:00.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even remember how many people were in the bar. By the way, it's a wild card Sunday, right? The weather's not bad. Right?
Is this a sports bar? Or they
a wild card? Sorry, wild card. Yeah, Sunday. Wild card Sunday.
They have big TVs and
they
stuff?
Have, well, that's part of the... I'm going to give a little bit away. Right. There's two TVs. One of them didn't have the game on when I first came in, right?
God, I hate that.
And the TV's about... See that soundproof thing right over there? It's not that big. It's not as big
as
that.
So it's 42-incher.
It's about as big as the TV in my bedroom, okay? And they're up on the wall. That's it there. How many people are there?
8.
Maybe 4. There's 6 people.
Including you two?
Including us. Now, the guy next to me is fucking hammered.
So he's just been there all day.
He's hammered.
And this is at like 2:30.
He's talking to me, yep. And he goes, oh, man, the Vikings clearly are there. I mean, they're going to the Super Bowl, right? And by the way, this is at halftime, right? I mean, I don't even know if they were ahead at the time, right? I don't even know what the score was.
Right.
He goes, yeah, they're going to. You don't think the Vikings are... And this guy who I was laughing at eventually started getting on my fucking nerves. I'm sure you've been there, right?
Right, right.
Matter of fact, he said something, and I go, what's your name? And if he's going to say his name, say it's Rob. I go, well, Rob, blah, 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 blah. He goes, I'm not fucking telling you my name. And I'm like, all right, well, fuck yourself, motherfucker. I don't fucking care, right? I started getting annoyed. This guy's fucking pissed. Then he tries to talk to me. I go, listen, dude, enough, okay? I was humoring you, but now you're getting on my fucking nerves. So now he decides, you know, I've overstepped my bounds. I'm going to leave. Right? This guy.
And you're happy about that.
Of course I am. And he's a fucking hammer.
Is he a big guy? You worried about it?
I'm not worried.
Taking you?
Well, I'm not worried about him taking, but also Ryan's with me and Ryan could probably fuck up most people that are around. Right?
Yeah.
So not that he's going to do that, but at least he can break it up.
Sure.
Right? That's all I really care about, you know, but I wasn't worried about this guy. He wasn't a guy to worry about. Right? Anyway. What do you think this guy does? He's like, all right. By the way, he's fucking smashed. He's just, what does he do?
He stands behind you and watches the game?
Nope. He gets up, walks out, gets in his car, and drives away.
of course.
It's nothing. Just hopped right in his car.
All
right,
I'm out.
So I'm like, all right, let me think. My kids aren't near here. My dog and my wife are at home. All right, see you later, dude. Whatever.
What a weird drinking schedule because, I mean, it couldn't. This place doesn't serve breakfast. It probably opens at 11 a.m. at the earliest, right?
I don't know what time they open, but I got a couple other stories about this place, but let me fast forward to the end a little bit.
All right.
So here's what I drank. I drank, by the way.
Okay.
All right. By the way, they serve pizza.
It's winter.
But it's the only thing they serve, because they have a little oven, I guess they pull out like these.
That's all you need.
So, and Ryan's like, I like sausage. So we got from this place a sausage and cheese pizza.
It's delicious.
They put it in this toaster oven, okay? I had 2 vodka and Cokes.
Vodka and Coke?
That's what I drank. Vodka and Coke.
All right. Okay.
Now, you know me.
It's juice with vodka.
Yeah, a Coke.
All right.
By the way, I said diet, and then she goes, this is okay, and she pulled out like a 1-liter bottle and showed it to me. I go, that's fine. It's just regular Coke. So that's what she poured it in there. I had 2 of those.
So they don't have a Coke, one of those machines where you hit the button.
They do not.
They literally have 2-liter bottles.
They have a 2-liter bottle, yeah. No, a 1-liter bottle. It wasn't even 2 liters, it was 1 liter.
1 liter, okay.
Ryan had, I don't want to exaggerate, but I think it was 3 beers.
All right.
Okay. So I had 2 vodka Cokes. He had 3 beers. We had a pizza. Okay. Now also, They brought over...
Do I get to guess the price? Is that where this is
yeah,
going?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Good.
They also brought over chips.
Okay.
They just poured plain regular potato chips, ruffled potato chips, just poured them in a bowl.
It's the dive bar.
But they also sold chips.
Okay.
So I'm like, no, I'll eat these. I'll have these, right? So that we had that. We also did two shots.
Oh, boy.
But I believe they were bought for us. So what it would be is it's five drinks and a pizza.
All right.
What was our bill?
All right. Pizza, five. Okay, the drinks, well, the beers were $2 each. That's $6. The vodkas were $3.50. That's $7. The 13, it's... $22.
It was $26.
Okay.
Sorry, Robbie. Were you going to guess? Sorry about
that.
I
was going to guess.
What were you going to say? Yeah.
26.
I was going to guess higher.
Yeah. $26.
Well, with tax, you know, I would almost got there.
So, I mean, I left $10. Like, yeah. I'm a, you know, and then I guess we were going to split the tab. By the way, Ryan, if you're listening, you owe me fucking half the money. I never got that. Anyway.
It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. So that was good. So anyway, the next thing you know, this couple comes in.
Mm-hmm.
They have a one-year-old at home. They got a babysitter for 3 hours so they could come to this bar.
Right.
And they, now the one guy left, the guy I hate left, these two, shout out Paul and Lindsay.
So that's their home bar. It's their spot.
Well, I think they live in a trailer, I think they said that. Either way, they don't live, maybe they don't, but they don't live super near. But they came, they're close enough to where they live in Severn. They came to Millersville. Anyway, so they came there. They had a babysitter for 3 hours. What did they give the babysitter?
$15.
They gave her $40.
Oh, nice.
Okay. They're there. They're an hour and a half in. They get a call from the babysitter.
Oh, no.
She's strong-arming them for more money. Okay.
Well, that's a ballsy move.
She's like, give me more money.
Or it's, what?
I don't know what she the consequences leaves? Are. Yeah. Hey, how old's the babysitter? How old?
17.
10 years old. And the 10-year-old is strong.
Oh, I got respect for that 10-year-old.
She's like, I need more money or you're going to fucking... I guess I'm going to abandon this kid or whatever.
$40 to a 10-year-old? That's like $400.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. So they're like, fuck you. We're not giving you more. They're arguing. Anyway,
yeah.
So they end up leaving. They don't... But before,
how old are the kids that the 10-year-old...
The kid's one. It's only one kid. It's one.
Okay.
Yeah, now the girl who told me, she was on birth control. There was something else going on. They had double protection, and he just fucking shot one right through.
Wow, champ.
And they had their 1-year-old kid. But that's it. But this guy, he's like, yeah, this bar, you know, this is my regular bar. But do you know who the I can't remember the it's a biker gang. The last name is Sons. It's the
Sons of Anarchy?
No. It's fuck. I even said to myself, I'm not gonna forget the name. The something Sons. Fuck me.
This is very important.
Yeah, I want to get the name right. Hold on, let me call
They're
Ryan.
They're not a famous group? We got to get to the bottom of this biker gang.
Yeah, because it's a famous gang. Hold on, Rob, you can cut all this out.
Yeah.
Sons of Silence?
No. The Sons of Silence? No.
That's a biker gang I'm researching.
No, it's the, I keep saying Glorious Sons, but it's not. It's the, come on, pick me up, Ryan.
Stop without you.
Fuck. Nah, never mind.
The Prodigal Sons?
No, either. Whatever. Apparently there's a gang, right?
Mm-hmm. The Gay Sons?
Apparently this girl, Lindsay,
mm-hmm.
there's some relationship that her father had with this gang. She's in with the gang.
She's a right? made woman.
Sure, exactly, right.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't like the gang. So... Apparently there's a guy there. He's outside. The guy's pissing. He's like, fuck you, man. He starts fucking talking shit to this fucking gang member. He goes, you're not even patched. He was shitting on this guy because of the Chosen Sons. Katie got it.
The Chosen Sons. Oh, like the Chosen Ones. I like it.
So he was shitting on this guy for, you know, it's almost like, you think you play for the Ravens? You're just trying out. You know what I mean? You haven't even made the team yet. I don't know what you have to do to be in the gang. No, hey, Mr. Chosen Sons, I'm not besmirching you, I'm sure. But don't you usually have to get kicked in or something like that?
Does that even mean? What do they do? Do they just ride around or do they actually commit crime or something?
I would never, ever imply that they commit crimes, the Chosen Sons. I would never imply that. But anyway, so he starts fucking shitting on this guy. He's drunk.
Yes.
And he even said, he goes, yeah, when I get real drunk, I am an angry drunk. I'm like, well, don't get drunk. You know what I mean? I don't want to fucking, you're cool now.
Right.
He's not that cool, but he was cool enough, right? You're cool now. But anyway, so then the girl, who also you would not want to fuck with, the wife, right?
She's the maid woman.
She goes up to this guy. Apparently, Ryan will remember there was a name of this guy. He was like the leader. And she had to go up and go, hey, the guy who just said, you're not even patched. You're just some fucking loser. He had to go apologize to everybody. They made him apologize.
Do they have a Facebook group, The Chosen Sons?
I don't know. Robbie, can you check that out while we're on? Can you look at up The Chosen Sons?
While you're looking up what's going on
in
The Bachelor.
Chosen Sons Motorcycle Club.
There you go.
Do they look to, like, they look like a group of men not to be trifled with?
No, they have a nice mystery website.
They do? I'm joking. I assume you're being... Let's not say anything but awesome things about The Chosen
Can
Sons.
Can we forward a Chris or Steve website to The Chosen Sons?
Yeah, let's fucking act. Hey, have you heard of The Chosen Sons? He's like, no. Go, they fucking love Green Bay. Tell them to fuck off or whatever. Get a video of Steve-O. Tell them to fucking go fuck themselves.
They have a Facebook page.
All right, like it.
Yeah, definitely.
Infiltrate it. Get in the gang, Robbie.
But anyway, yeah, so this guy apparently went in there and he had to apologize or whatever. But anyway, this is the thing. What do you think bugged me the most about this guy? Who they were fine. They were fine. They're Ravens fans. They didn't like Lamar.
Are they racist?
Well, that's a very JL thing to say, but they were.
Well, how could you not like him? I mean, what?
I don't want to. More him than her. But yeah, they definitely were racist.
Like, they didn't like him personally, or they didn't like...
They act like he's not a good quarterback.
Their chances with him as quarterback.
Yeah, like, they're just, it's a fluke or whatever. Yeah.
Well, they've never had a better offense than the one they've had this year.
So not only have they never had a better offense, a lot of teams have never had a better offense.
So I don't know what were your expectations?
Well, that's when Ryan and I were like, I was fine with all the fucking wanting to fight the Chosen Sons, neglecting his kid, fucking trying to shake down the 10-year-old, all that. But once he fucking said Lamar Jackson wasn't any good.
Did he like your dog? Did he like Oscar? I'm sure he showed pictures.
I showed her pictures of Oscar. Hey, they have two dogs. Do you want to guess the breed? I'll give you one guess.
Pitbull?
Pitbulls, yeah. Of course, they had fucking pitbulls, yeah.
They look like they do a lot of good charity work.
Well, let's invite them to the murder mystery for the Comedy Factory.
Well, we can't have them there and this guy. He'll try to... What, you're not even patched? Fucking loser.
That sounds like a great
idea. By the way, you have to not be patched before you are, right?
Of course.
You're just trying out. What if they pick you?
What if he tried to be patched and he didn't succeed in the... initiation process.
Well, I can guarantee you this. If you're going for your patch and some guy walks up and fucking shit talks you and you don't beat his ass, you're not going to get your patch.
Yeah.
He probably made it even worse. You don't want to fuck with a guy who doesn't.
Bad.
The guy that has a patch, at least like, look, I already got my patch. You got one chance to fucking walk away. This guy's going to have to fucking do something.
That was the alcohol talking. Let's take a break. We'll wrap this up. Rob and Joe Show.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. These two plan to be wed. It's too bad someone will drop dead.
We're having a wedding and you're all invited. Die Laughing Productions presents Love and Marriage and Murder. It's the bride and groom's big day. Bells will ring, the sun will shine. They'll love until the end of time. The end indeed, because this is a murder mystery, a wedding whodunit. Can you solve it and live happily ever after? Love and Marriage and Murder stars me, 98 Rock's Justin Schlegel, Joe and Katie Robinson, the real-life newlyweds, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions performers. But the real stars of the show are all you, the wedding crashers in the audience. We have audience roles available for willing volunteers. The rest of you could sit back, laugh, and enjoy a wedding day ruined by an untimely death, and maybe help solve a whodunit.
Two shows, February 14th at McGoobie's Joke House in Timonium, Maryland. For more information, go to DieLaughingProductions.com. Tickets are available right now.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Larry's Bar. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out.
It's Larry's Tavern.
Larry's Tavern.
Dude, I'll go. I loved it there.
All right.
Now, you got to be careful. Guys like us, we're not really going to. Although, did I or did I not see somebody I knew there?
You're a popular guy, Joe.
So I did.
Well, you do live here. I mean.
I got that, but that is the bar.
Okay.
You want to go there after this so I can show you around?
I mean, not tonight, but
I'll definitely show you around if you think that it's just easy to see somebody you know there.
No, I don't think I'll know someone there.
Okay, true or false? I saw somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
That guy won the Price is Right Showcase Showdown. True or false?
True.
That's true. This fucking guy told he won the showcase. Hey, he won the first thing.
Yeah.
You know, he won whatever he won. One. Then he fucking spun the wheel. He told the whole story. The first person busted. Okay, first person busted.
That's a good
advantage. They got like a 20 and then a 90 for busted. Second, he spun, he got a 60.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's and he didn't spin again, right?
Didn't, you can't, no. Right? He can't spin again.
No.
So the next person, because you got a better than 50-50 shot, and then the person, all they do is spin for the dollar and they're done, right?
Yeah.
The next person gets up, the first number, 20.
So that's not that good, actually, for you.
No, I mean,
they rolled twice, right?
Yeah, they spend go twice. So you have, I mean, basically every number from 20 to 80, because you have to get to 60. From 40 to 80, you win. So it's probably about 50-50 at that point.
Yeah.
Rob, this guy was on in the Bob Barker. Are they still telling the story?
Yeah, it was Bob Barker.
Oh, yeah.
100%. No kidding.
Can I tell you something else about that?
Yeah. I was totally shocked.
Hey, he also said, you know all that shit that they said? Holly was on the show, Robbie, when he what's the redhead?
Oh my God.
Holly?
He won a 25-inch black and white TV.
So it's funny. He goes, you know all that shit they say about Bob Barker or whatever being a pervert? He goes, that's all true. He fucking saw him just fucking shit talking all the girls or whatever. Anyway, so then the next person spins a 20, next 85, they're fucking out. So now he's in the showdown, right?
Yeah.
But he was the big winner, so you know how you get your option and then you can fucking say, and you always pass on the first.
Of course.
Literally, 99% of the time, the second one is better.
Yes.
So the first one is 3 trips.
A lot of taxes.
Well, we'll get there. So he's like, no. And then he knew that person went over. So he wasn't even close, but all he had to do was not go over, and he did, and he fucking won the show. He won his showcase. He won a motorcycle. He won whatever. It doesn't matter. Juicer. Who knows what the fuck he won. But listen to this. So
he won entrance into what is their names? The Glorious Sons? Whatever.
The Chosen Sons. It's hard to remember. Right. Anyway, so here's something you don't know. If you win a motorcycle, it's worth, you know, whatever, $20,000. I don't know what a motorcycle is.
I think they're more like 8 to 12, I think.
Whatever. Okay. Yeah. You got a $12,000 motorcycle. Yeah.
I don't know either.
Yeah, whatever. You owe $6,000.
It's a lot of money.
Or you can't have it. But.
Because there's taxes and there's like a freight cost or something.
Well, the taxes are, if it's a gift, it's 50% or whatever. Right. So you owe 50% of this winnings.
Yeah.
Now, you can take it and pay those taxes. Or you can just refuse it. You can't say, give me half the money.
Wow.
But you can just say, I don't want the gift at all.
Nothing.
I don't want the prize at all. He said that. So he had to take it, sell all the shit in order to get half of it. You didn't keep any of it. He didn't get one thing.
So he didn't make any, but he made some money.
He
worked for it.
It's like, hey, if you said to me, you said $8,000, which I think you're wrong about that. But if you said, hey, for $4,000, you get to win this bike, you got to get it back, you got to fucking Craigslist it or whatever, you got to fucking, I'd be like, fuck it. No. That's why a lot of people are like, so like for a fucking juicer or shit, like, you'd be like, no, forget it. I don't even want it.
What a scam.
It is a scam.
What's the chat saying a motorcycle costs?
They're not.
We could look it up, but
yeah.
But they
no motorcycles are, I think, are a lot more, and I don't know what it was, but you know, a Harley is super expensive.
Well,
right?
I guess it depends on which kind it is.
Did you think it was a dirt bike?
This guy's telling the story for 15 years.
Yeah.
Well, Robbie, it's not like the story isn't that you know you fucking threw up in a public place.
I'd be telling it. Yeah.
But it's a big deal to him, and it happened 15 years ago.
Robbie, if you won the Showcase Showdown, it would be the best story you have.
Yes, exactly. So I tell it to everybody I met.
Well, of course, right?
You know who I've tried to get on the show a couple times?
Bob Barker. Barker.
Holly?
Yes.
Try to get Holly on. Did Holly, did she have an issue with Bob Barker? Was she one of the ones?
I don't think it was Holly. It was the other one.
Diane. What's her name?
Vanna White.
No, not Vanna White.
So you're saying that Bob Barker's...
Diane Parkinson.
That's it, Diane Parkinson,
a pervert. Well... there's been rumors that Chevy Chase is a dick, right? Well, on this, the movies that made us, Home Alone, Chris Columbus, the director, originally was directing Christmas Vacation, and he was a first-time director, or really new at that point, and Chevy just was a dick to him. They wouldn't to listen to any of his ideas, and he quit. He said, I can't work.
He's like, fuck it, yeah. I'm not doing it.
He was just a giant asshole to him.
Well, whoever directed, you know, I wonder if the next year he's like, I got to quit acting like a dick. People will quit.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. You can't do the vacation movie without Chevy Chase.
Of course not.
The director is the one who has to go.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So.
By the way, real quick.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase, he didn't like Community. He thought it wasn't funny. Do you know that? The show he was on that was great? Yeah. He didn't like it.
Yeah, I think he's
like, it's not very good.
You mentioned how much those drinks cost. Guess the drinks that Eric and I, we went after the City Winery in D.C., we went to this, I forget the name of it, some sports bar a few doors down. We had four total Tito's and soda.
Four?
Yeah.
What were they, $13 a piece?
It was $44, so. And we knew the bartender.
$11 a piece.
So, yes.
You knew the bartender.
Yes. That was,
that was a hookup.
There was no hookup. I don't know. Maybe there was, and that was shitty. Then on the drive home, we got into this discussion. The Mount Rushmore of action movies. But we made some qualifiers.
Okay, go ahead. It's got to be the original. It can't be a sequel.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can't, no sci-fi. No aliens.
Okay.
Which we were on the fence about Predator because it does have alien, but you're on
I'm
Earth.
Not putting Predator on there anyway.
Okay. So, no.
Well, two that are automatically on there is
we also
Raiders
said
of the Lost Ark.
No, like Gladiator, no epic kind of.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, we're
well,
one,
Die Hard and Raiders of the Lost Ark automatically. Those two, everybody had those on there, right?
Yes.
Yes, so those are two that no matter
well,
what.
We forgot later, we got to Lost Ark a little bit. It took us some few
but that's
minutes.
Definitely on there for
I
action
agree.
Movies, right?
Then we talked about Lethal Weapon. We talked about Taken.
So
then we thought, is there a James Bond or a Mission Impossible that
I'm
stands
sorry.
Out?
I'm sorry. Rambo has to be on there.
First Blood, yes.
Yeah, First Blood has to be on there. Yeah, even because it's spawned an entire franchise, right? So I agree. What do you have? Was it us talking?
Yes, that was.
Sorry, Rob had his note page opened up, and we were talking. I guess he hit the microphone. So
oh, that's cool.
Are you reading back the show? Is it good?
We said the N-word four times.
So I have for action movies, Robbie's going to go some fucking King Kong or whatever, but I'm going to go Raiders of the Lost Ark, 100% Die Hard. Those are two so simple, right?
Yeah.
Agreed?
Yes.
I think First Blood would be next.
Okay.
Okay. Then give me what else you guys said.
I'm trying to remember. We said Heat.
Terminator.
Terminator. Yeah, but then we get is that
sci-fi?
Sci-fi.
It is sci-fi.
Yeah,
it is. So it doesn't count
because we first said aliens, and then we were like, that's different. And then we talked about like the Bravehearts
like,
and the.
I don't like your rules, and you're not counting any superhero movies, right?
And
because then The Dark Knight would be in there.
You guys are forgetting a big one.
I feel like we are. Go ahead. Give us some hints.
The Bourne movies.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, which one of those?
I don't.
And the John Wick movies.
Yeah. No, we mentioned
and the
that.
Matrix.
Okay. The Matrix, but that's 100% sci-fi.
Yes.
You can't. It's a weird qualifier, but it is a qualifier.
Oh, I think we said, I think we mentioned Mad Max.
But superhero movies, are they sci-fi
and Mission
also?
Mission Impossible.
I don't even like the Mission Impossibles that much.
Really?
They're okay.
I love them. But I don't know if one stands out.
For me, though, I love those Kingsman movies so much.
I do, too. But
yeah, they're fun.
Definitely. Because there's some, like RoboCop, Robbie would agree, but that's sci-fi, so you can't have it,
see,
right?
I'm looking for is, like, Taken, Die Hard. Those are, to me, quintessential action movies, First Blood. I mean, even Raiders of the Lost Ark has some.
Well, Raiders of the Lost Ark and Die Hard, those are the two best. In my opinion, I don't think that it's a far fall to get to the next best one. Because here's the First Blood's really not that great of a movie, right? But I really enjoy it. It's like Roadhouse. I really enjoy
it.
But First Blood's, but it spawned a franchise and that character, you see him, he comes up again. It's very satisfying, you know, to see those. I guess Lethal Weapon would probably have to be in the conversation.
We mentioned that one.
Lethal Weapon probably before Taken.
What about The Road Warrior?
Well, is that sci-fi?
Yeah,
it's futuristic, but I wouldn't call it sci-fi.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah, the last one is good.
Yeah.
By the way, if we're going to talk about J.O. Covan again.
Oh, boy.
He's going to hear this. There's something that we're going to be missing, and he's going to be, you're a fucking moron for not to. Like, there's no, oh, I believe it's this. We were debating between Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones.
I did a Twitter poll, and it was like 16-7 Breaking Bad show of the decade.
Okay. So
that's not a lot of people.
But you're right. The sample size is small, and I'm not going to. All I'm saying is he said to not say it's Game of Thrones and say it's Breaking Bad.
Which he loves Breaking Bad.
And it's one of the greatest shows in history of television.
Yes.
He said it's absurd.
It is absurd.
It's not absurd. That's the thing. I mean, this hyperbole, we can't even have a. And he's like, oh, you're not. No, it's unreasonable for you to say something is absurd that half the people. More people than we spoke to agree
it's
with.
Definitely not absurd.
Right? It's not absurd. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Now, what's absurd is it's Arliss is the show of the century.
Well, it's absurd because it was from the previous decade. Right. Oh, okay. Century, I'll give you.
All right.
No, so
Dexter is the show of the 21st century.
That's absurd.
Right.
So, but superheroes don't count? That's definitely sci-fi, but is Batman sci-fi? It's really not.
Okay.
Because if that's the case, I mean, and J.L. Kavan will like this, speaking of him. Dark Knight would definitely be on there.
I agree.
Okay, so in that case, if that's what we're saying, then we say Raiders, Die Hard, The Dark Knight, then we're deciding on four, which would probably be First Blood or Lethal Weapon.
I accept that.
I know you love Lethal Weapon. You know why?
Why?
Because you told me you saw Lethal Weapon 3 in the theater three times.
The first one three times.
Oh, I thought you
said... No, the second one. I saw the second one.
What's the one with Joe Pesci and Chris Rock? That's the one you said you saw.
No, I didn't see that
one. Oh, okay.
I saw the one where he's...
That was the third one.
He's sitting on the toilet for 7 hours, and they have to blow up...
Yeah. When he saw the and toilet paper.
That's the diplomatic immunity. Yes.
Yeah. He kills him anyway.
I think Lethal Weapon is the weakest of all the ones you just listed.
Well, Lethal Weapon is better than First Blood as a film, right?
I guess.
Well, then it's not the weakest.
I mean...
What about Roadhouse? That doesn't count.
It's got some great action sequences.
That's the top.
So Lethal Weapon has an 89% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not that that's the end-all, be-all, but it has an 89%. Let's see what First Blood has. First Blood. They drew First Blood.
I'm your worst nightmare.
87.
Okay.
So they're both... Apart. Yeah. Hey, I saw... Rambo,
mm-hmm.
First Blood 2 in the movie theater. And I'll never forget this because I saw it with my friend Dean Groff.
Nice.
He brought a date, and I also had a date with me.
Oh.
And that's what we decided to take. We don't know. Right. He had a Chevette. I was a junior.
Didn't you tell the story recently you thought you had a date?
No. That's a different thing. So I might be confusing things, but the same girl, by the way. It was the same girl that I went on a date with. But the same girl, I said, hey, she was coming over because her parents were friends with my parents. And I said, hey, come on over. We'll go to the mall. When I say will, that can also be plural. And she was bringing her sister. Then it being me and my friend Dean and his date and her and then her sister. And we all went to the mall, it wasn't the end of the world, but it wasn't what I was hoping.
No threesome.
And that was to make out with her, you know, over by the fucking fountain or whatever.
Did you ask Katie to give us a bachelor pick?
I will. Should we say it on this show?
I mean,
I don't want to make her get up because she's sick.
No. We don't. She can do it whenever.
Yeah, she's not going to cheat. I know that.
Right.
Because she doesn't know the website to go to.
But it's happening.
Robbie's friend.
She might be watching it right now for all I know.
ABC.com.
So that's the show. I'll be in Myrtle Beach going to the Carolina Comedy Club headlining Wednesday to Sunday, this January 8th to 12th.
Dude, your schedule is, sorry, I interrupted him. You're giving plugs. January 8th through 12th. Dude, you're doing, what are you doing, like 10 shows in the next 12 days? Something insane, right?
No, it's not. It's 7 down there, I think. And then we got the Murder Mystery 17th, although I'm actually just hanging out. I don't know if there's a role for me. But I'm headlining.
And we're not getting paid.
Yes. I'm headlining the DC Improv Lounge January 19th. We've got Croft and Country Club with Tommy and Eric on the 24th. We've got a Murder Mystery Jam in Java the 25th in Vienna.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to be in VA Beach last weekend of the month, 30th through the 1st.
And Rob's Myrtle Beach gig means that we are going to be recording on Tuesday, so we're going to be live next Tuesday.
Live next Tuesday.
Yep. And then one last thing, rest in peace to the legendary Fat Doctor, DC legendary comedian. The first time I was ever on stage, I went to this hotel in Front Royal, Virginia, where I was working. They had comedy Friday and Saturday night. I was interested in doing comedy. He was the headliner. I talked to him in the feature after the show. They were complimentary, or they were nice guys. They said, come by the next night, do 5 minutes. And I did, and that was my first ever 5 minutes. He was encouraged me to keep at it. And then years later, I worked with him at Wiseacres, and he helped mentor Martin Lawrence. A lot of the DC legends all paid their respects today to the Fat Doctor. Rest in peace.
Well, let me tell a quick Fat Doctor story, nice. May I? So there was an issue where he had to rent a car. He couldn't do it because he needed to have a credit card. So
he was old school.
Good friend of ours, good friend Todd Leatherberry, has talked about him before. He asked his father if he would loan him his credit card so he could rent this car, and then he never came back with the car. he went on some sort of binge. He was known to do at the time.
This is your friend, or the Fat Doctor.
The Fat Doctor.
Oh, got you. Okay.
The Fat Doctor didn't come
back.
Either
one of those could have worked.
I don't know if I'm allowed to tell this story, but I guess since he's not around to,
But we're telling it lovingly.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know how it ended. I mean, I assume they got the car back, right?
Who knows?
But yeah, it was. It didn't end up going too well. He was on sort of a bender, and he wasn't on a bender like you would be on a bender.
Gotcha.
He was on a bender like, say, somebody who lived on the street would be on a bender. So yeah.
What a touching eulogy, Joe.
So rest in peace. By the way, the first time I was on stage was at a college comedy competition. Mm-hmm. I did great. Mm-hmm. So I have the confidence to then go to a club and do an open mic where I fucking bomb.
Nice.
And that the Fat Doctor was the host of the show.
See? So art my first or second involves the Fat Doctor.
But I didn't do well the second time. I bombed. Yeah.
Mine's a better story though. Yeah. That's the show. We'll be back next week.
Later.
That's a good start to the year.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.